All right, we're looking at the words of creation and seeing how God uses all this language as a parable in order to understand the Bible. And we're going to look at green thing and grass. So we'll start off with grass, looking at grass. The picture of grass appears to be identified with the corporate body, unsaved people in the church. It appears to identify with the corporate body. And of course, out of the unsaved in a corporate church, during the church age at least, and even these times, people become saved. You know, I'm sure that there are probably still some people in the church that are some of God's elect, and at some point they'll hear the gospel outside of the church and will respond, and then will come out of the church. But anyway, grass is a picture of people. It is a picture of the corporate body, those who are under the hearing of the Word of God. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field." This word field is the word G-E, and so it identifies with the corporate church, as we've seen in our past studies. The word gay, again, usually is identified. Okay, I guess I dropped the mic. Can anyone hear me? Am I coming through there now, Larry, or anyone? Okay. I must have dropped the mic then, huh? All right. Anyway, we're looking at grass, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 28. So I guess we'll start all over there. In Matthew chapter chapter 6, verse 28, we read, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not yet not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" And of course, the clothing that we need to be clothed with is with the robes of righteousness. We need to be clothed with the linen that God has, the covering of Christ. We're to be covered and clothed with Christ. But here is a picture of the grass. If God so clothe the grass of the field, of the corporate church, of the corporate body, the grass, he gave him a covering, a clothing, and he identifies the lilies of the field. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. To be cast into the oven identifies with judgment. To be, you know, if you put grass, the idea of grass is burning in an oven, is to be burnt up. We read about the grass being burnt up in Revelation, and the trees and green things and so on. So again, here we see this picture of grass, and grass seems to identify clearly with identifies with the corporate church, the grass of the field, the grass of the earth, or of the gay, G-E. In Matthew chapter 14, we read in verse 15, "When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have but five loaves and two fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And took the five loaves and the two fish, and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude. They did all eat, and they were all filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." So we have a lot of language in here that we've already looked at in the past. We've looked at these numbers in the past many times. The number 2 identifies with the true church of God. It can identify with the corporate church also, but it generally identifies with the body of Christ, the two witnesses, the two candlesticks. Here we have the two fishes. Fish identify with men. Remember the Lord said, I'll make you fishes of men. So here is people who have become part of the body of Christ. Two fishes is what's in view here. 5 loaves. 5 is judgment, or it is grace. In this case, it is the picture of grace. The loaves identify with the bread of life, which is Christ. And so the picture takes place in a desert place, and the time is now past. I see something interesting here, and I'm not sure, I haven't really looked into it, but I just noticed it is at the beginning of this in 15, it says, and it was evening. His disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. And so the idea of evening is the idea of nightfall. And this could identify also to some degree with the end of the world because of the fact that the word evening is here. But in any event, evening might identify also with the Old Testament up until the timing when Christ came and brought the light of the gospel, and therefore the day shines. But anyway, his disciples came and said, this is a desert place. A desert place is a place where there is much heat, much sun, but not much water. And the time is now past. But here they have these two fishes and these 5 loaves. And the Lord says to them, he commands the multitude to sit down on the grass. It's very interesting that here is a desert place. Very clearly, the Lord says it's a desert place, and yet there is grass there all of a sudden. And the people are to sit down, not on the sand, not on the desert area, but on the grass. God has prepared a place that he has watered. He had brought the water and put the seed in the ground and made the grass to grow. And here now it is a prepared place in the middle of the desert, a grass. And he took the 5 loaves, the 2 fishes, looked up to heaven, and break them, blessed them, and he broke them and gave the loaves to his disciples. And that's a very interesting picture, is the fact that God has given the loaves, the bread of life, to the disciples to give on to the multitude. And that's how the gospel goes forward. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is delivered unto us through the disciples, through the apostles, and then us too, through the others. We deliver the gospel unto one to another. And that's how God brings salvation, brings the gospel to the people through other preachers and teachers that he rose up. But it is interesting that they sit down on the grass. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. To sit is to rule. We get a picture of Christ sitting on a cloud. He is ruling and reigning. And we are the cloud of witnesses. We are that cloud that he is ruling and reigning in. He's hidden in the cloud. He's sitting on the cloud. And here he commands the body of Christ, the multitude, to sit or down on the grass. To sit is to rule. The grass, again, identifies with people. It identifies with the corporate church. And it is the body of Christ ruling in the corporate church. And, of course, ultimately is Christ within the body, ruling with a rod of iron, upon the grass. And the grass, of course, is a blessing. The idea that there is grass there is a picture that God has been watering that place. He's been sending the gospel. And we're going to see as we look at the green things, that the green things is a place that is well watered. Anything when the leaf, it doesn't fade, but it is green, or the grass is green and isn't burnt, it isn't dying, but it's growing forth green. It is a place where there is much water. It tells us, we read in verse 20 that they did all eat and they were filled. And they took up the fragments that were remained 12 baskets full. And we know that the number 12 identifies with the fullness of whatever it is that God has in view. Usually 12 identifies with the fullness of the body of Christ. And so this might identify with exactly that. These 12 baskets full is a picture of the fullness of the body of Christ, that is to bring forth the feeding of the gospel, the baskets full of the bread and of the fish, the fragments. And they that were eaten were about 5,000. Again, the number 5 identifies with either grace or judgment. In this case, it is grace, and it's the completeness of God's grace. The number 1,000 identifies with the completeness of whatever it is that God has in view. So here we have the completeness of God's grace upon these people as they rule, and Christ rules in them, the corporate church in the body of Christ. So Christ is ruling, you know, inside us. We are living and reigning with Christ, and He is ruling the corporate church through the body of Christ by the preaching and teaching of the gospel as it goes forth. So that's the picture we see here in Matthew chapter 14. Now, we get an interesting picture in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, where we read, and He said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground." Remember, the Lord spoke about the mustard seed, and identifies that as being as the kingdom of God. You know, the seed is first put into the ground, and it is the smallest of herbs, but then when it grows, it becomes this great tree. And here again, God has given us the picture. The kingdom of God is like a man that should cast seed in the ground, to sow the gospel seed, a good seed in good ground. Christ is that seed. The ground identifies with the corporate church, and it is sown by the preaching of the gospel, and should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. In other words, it's the mystery how these things come about, and as the kingdom of heaven grows and people become born again, this is a mystery to us. This is the work of God, and we don't know how it is that God works, that He makes this one to become born again and that one to become born again. "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself," and this earth again identifies, the word earth is the word ge. Same word as the word field or the land, gay. And we saw that identifies with the corporate body. So here is the planting of the seed in the corporate body, and it brings forth fruit. The preaching of the gospel unto the unsaved will bring forth fruit, as God wills. And he goes on to tell us, first the blade, then the ear. Now the blade that is in view, of course, is the blade of grass. And then God says, then an ear comes. And then after that, the full corn in the ear. And I've always found that kind of interesting language, because this ear of corn, the corn that is inside the ear, inside the blade, and faith come from hearing and hearing from the Word of God, and the same kind of language I think is in view when God gives us this picture, the blade, then the ear, and then the corn in the ear. And the corn identifies with the Word of God also. It is the grain, a picture of the grain, the bringing of the Word of God. "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put forth his sickle, because the harvest is come." And we saw that there, in the past, we've looked and saw that there are a few fruit seasons. Harvest is the first fruit, which ultimately is Christ himself. Then there is the first fruit of the first fruits, and that, of course, is the Old Testament believers. And then the Bible says that we are a kind of first fruits. So we kind of see three different harvests, or three first fruits in view as we look into the Bible. But anyway, the word blade is the word grass. It's the very same word as the word grass, as we've seen, to sit down on the grass, or God clothes the grass of the field with the lilies and so on. And one other thing, that lily, as we looked back there, the lilies of the field, that identifies with Christ. Christ is the lily of the field. And we being the body of Christ, I probably identify as the lilies in plural, because Christ should be seen from us. We're preaching the Word of God. Christ is within us, and it is Christ ultimately who is the elder within the body, within the true church of God, bringing forth that gospel. It is he who puts into the ear that which we should announce off the hilltops, the high places. In John chapter 6, and This may be, I'm looking for the language here, and this may be just another account of what we saw in Matthew chapter 14 concerning the five loaves and the two fishes. And God has given us another account of this in John chapter 6. We read in verse 9, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And again, we see this number 5,000 in view, five being, in this case, the grace, the completeness of the grace of God in this case. And we see the two fishes, and we see the five loaves of identifying with the bread, and the fish identifying with people, two identifying with the church. But God says that there is much grass in this in the place. And of course, again, this is a desert place, and yet there is much grass. So there is much gospel that is being brought forth, is what the picture is in view here, the spiritual picture, the fact that it is well watered. Now, in 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth upon it. For the other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And this is Paul, who is one of the disciples, one of the apostles, and he is speaking. Those are the 12 that God has chosen to bring forth the gospel and has passed it on to others, and we've become also ministers of the gospel. We've become born again, and we pass it along to others and so on. But Christ is that foundation, and we are to take heed on how we build upon that foundation, and that there is no other foundation but Christ. Christ is the only foundation. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones. Now, the gold and the silver and the precious stones identify with the Word of God. It also identifies with believers. You know, we are gold tried in a fire. We are silver tried in a fire. Precious stones. God gives us plenty of language in the Bible that we see that this gold, silver, and precious stones identify with the Word of God, and it identifies with believers. But then he adds on to that, now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, and then he says wood, hay, and stubble. Now this word hay is the word grass. It is dried up grass. And every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And, this brings us to reminding of the language that we read just a few minutes ago. I'm looking for that language. There would be Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not so much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And so again, the grass which is green, it's well watered. It is. You have the gospel going forth. It has root. The seed has been planted, and some of these blades of grass will bring forth an ear, and you'll find corn in the ear. There's the fruit that's in view. The ear identifying with the hearing of the Word of God, and the corn identifying with that Word of God. But nevertheless, the picture of the fruit is what is in view with the corn. But not all grass will bring forth corn. Many of the blades just becomes hay, a blade of grass that is dried up, and it becomes hay. And God talks about this hay, as we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It'll burn. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So the time comes when judgment comes, when the fire comes, And what happens to the wood, hay, and stubble? It burns up. But the gold and the silver and the precious stones, they're able to go through that fire. They're tried by the fire and they're brought through the fire, as we read in the Bible. So again, hay identifies with unsaved men. Green grass is people who are under the hearing, very close to the kingdom of heaven. They're sanctified. They are well watered. They have the truth. And yet we see how men have turned from the truth, how churches have turned from the truth, and so on. In James chapter 1, we read in verse 10, but the rich, in that he made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so here, again, we have the picture of the flower of the grass. It shall pass away, and the sun is no sooner risen up and a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And this is a picture, I believe, of the end of the world. This is a picture of the Great Tribulation, the time when the grass is withered away, it's burned by the heat of the sun, and the flower falleth. And we read, in the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So again, grass identifies with the corporate church, the people in the corporate church, and green grass identifies with the idea of it being well watered, the gospel going forth, the seed being planted, and the water being brought forth, and the sun being lighted upon it, so that it brings forth fruit. By at some point, some of this grass brings forth the corn in the ear. It brings forth an ear and a corn. It brings forth fruit. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I think this is clear language that God has given us to make it very specific, focusing in on grass, identifying with man. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as of grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so I think this is clear language. God is clearly telling us in identifying with flesh is as grass. It is as men. And all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. But I think the lily in itself, Christ is the lily of the field. We read about that in the Old Testament. I think the lily identifies with the body of Christ. Ultimately, of course, Christ himself being identified with the body of Christ. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 3, we read, Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, Return ye children of men, for 1,000 years, and that's in thy sight, are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withered. And we've been doing some studies looking at the evening and the morning. How does God put it? When will the Lord come? Will he come in the evening? Will he come at midnight? Will he come at the cock crowing? Or will he come in the morning? And there is a morning that comes, the day of the Lord, when Christ came into this sin-cursed earth, in the person of Jesus Christ and brought forth the gospel, and we have the New Testament era bringing forth the fruit, bringing forth the gospel as it goes forth into the world for a couple of thousand years, and then God speaks of a spiritual picture, a spiritual darkness, a time called the evening. And we saw that the evening identifies with the time that God starts to bring judgment upon the church. And so evening identifies with the beginning of the tribulation. Midnight identifies with when the body of Christ comes out of the church, and at midnight the cry goes out, and the final blow upon the corporate church, with the exception, of course, of Judgment Day itself. But judgment had begun in the house of God. God has sent forth a famine into the land, and he has called the fowls of the air, and has created a great supper feast, and our brother has risen up and killed us, and therefore ultimately he has succeeded in killing himself by silencing us. It becomes a dead carcass. The church becomes a dead body, and the fowls of the air feed upon this, as we see it in the Bible. But this is the, and then at some point God removes the candlestick, the body of Christ, the light of the gospel from the church. He removes his body, and so that's the midnight. And then the cock crowing is the realizing and the declaring of the end of the world. You know, the cock started to crow. I think spiritually we could see that back in 2004, as we were looking at the end of the world and realizing that the end of the world is very close. And so, you know, the crowing of a cock identifies with the fact that morning is coming. It announces the morning before the actual day arises, the day star arises. So it's the telling, the morning is coming, morning is coming. And so here we are declaring Christ is coming, Christ is coming. And then morning, of course, is the day of the Lord when Judgment Day has come. That's the end of the world, the last day. That would be the morning. Let's see where we're at. Let's go up again. We're reading in Psalm 90. Let's read through that again, because there's some other language here, as the flood. We read in verse 3, "Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." And that thousand years identifies with the completeness of whatever it is that God has in view. And it has become now a watch in the night. "Thou hast carried them away as with a flood." And it gets the language of bringing us into the great tribulation, the flood of false doctrines. "They are as asleep." They are like silent. They are dead. In the morning, they are like grass when it groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. And in the evening, it is cut down and withered. And we know that during this time period, the Great Tribulation, God separates the wheat from the tares. And what does he tell us he does? What's the first thing he tells us he does? First, cut down the tares, bind them, and burn them in the field. The field identifies with the church, the burning identifies with judgment, and it's exactly the language we've been seeing here, to be tried by fire, to be revealed by fire, to be burned in the end. It becomes as dry grass, as hay, and it is burnt. And same picture, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, in the evening is cut down and withered. So it is withered and therefore burnt. Isaiah 40 verse 6, the voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever." So I think these verses give us a clear picture, and I think God gives us some clear language telling us that all flesh is grass, that surely the people is grass. And here's a picture of the those who are being breaking the bread that God has had grace upon to sit on the grass. God makes them to sit onto the grass. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and the Lord rules during the church age with a rod of iron, and he does that through the body of Christ, and I think that picture comes out quite clearly as we look at these verses. Now, God uses another phrase identifying with grass and trees, and he refers to them as green things. Green grass is a well-watered grass. When grass becomes hay and it is cut down, it's dry, it becomes hay, it is no longer well-watered. The gospel is no longer going forth in that grass. And again, that grass identifies with unsaved men. Identifies with the unsaved men in the corporate church. Now, in Mark chapter 6, I'm not too sure whether this is the same... we'll read and see. This may be a different account of another time when God has given, taken the fish and the loaves and fed the few thousand. But the same kind of language, but he uses the picture of green grass in Mark chapter 6. I don't think we looked at Mark chapter 6. I know we looked at John, and we looked at Matthew. Let me just go straight to the verse here. Mark chapter 6, we read in verse 39, another account, I think probably the same account maybe. And he commanded to them to make all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, by hundreds and by fifties. Now this may be a different account because there are two different accounts where God feeds the multitude with only a few loaves and a few fishes. And we have to carefully go through these Gospels and look at the language to see so that we can discern between the two different accounts. And this may be one of them. I'm starting to suspect that because it's different language. He makes them to sit in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Where we don't get that kind of language. I think we get the language of 5,000 and the other. But the big focus is the fact that there is green grass in view. It is a place that is well watered. In Exodus, we read in chapter 10, verse 14, and the locust went up. Okay, I see I lost my mic. I presume I just lost it. All right, we're looking at Exodus. Let's see. Exodus chapter 10, verse 14. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Dave, I see you have your hand up. Oh, lost it about 10 minutes ago. Have I been down for 10 minutes? Joe, just for you, David. Everyone else? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to continue where I'm at, and maybe I'll do a. We'll go back and look some more of the language after I finish through the green thing. But we're looking at green thing right now. We're looking at grass, and now we're looking at green thing. If I fall away again, maybe someone can send me a PM so that I would know it. I didn't notice that my mic was down. But anyway, we're looking at green things. We saw in green grass, we saw the grass which identifies with mankind, identifies with those who are well watered. If it's green grass, they're being well watered. At some point, God brings judgment. They become hay. They become dry grass. They're cut down and they're burnt. And that's a picture of judgment, the end of the world, as we saw. But now we see this idea of green things or green grass. God puts the emphasis on the fact that something is green. To be green is to be well-watered. The well-watering is the well-watering of the gospel. A leaf that doesn't fade. A blade that is green and brings forth fruit, corn. First the blade, then the ear, and so on. But in Exodus chapter 10, we read in verse 14, and the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them, there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth. Now, this is a very interesting language that God puts here in Exodus 10, because we read very similar language in Matthew 24 a time that never was and never will be again. We read that in a couple of the Gospels. And here, this is the same kind of language. Before them, there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth. And the word earth here, again, is a Hebrew word, and it indeed, I forget the Hebrew word, I think it's a eret, if I recall. But anyway, the face of the whole earth, the whole corporate body, the whole church. The locust was everywhere, covered the whole face of the whole corporate body. Again, this is identifying with the end of the world. We see the language, the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in the coast of Egypt. Very grievous they were. Never would before like these, never again shall there be again like these. They covered all the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. And these locusts are false prophets and false teachers. They come to eat up all the green things, to destroy. And the land was darkened. This brings us again to the end of the world, the darkness. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And their remnant, then there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. So here in the earth, identifying with the corporate church throughout all the world, this is a universal picture. The locust has covered all the earth, and there is now, they have been darkened, there is darkness, and they've eaten up all the green things, and there is nothing left, nothing that remaineth of any green things, no fruits left, nothing. All of the corporate body has been destroyed, is what is in view here. In Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, as for the believer, we read a Psalm of David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." He makes us to lie down in a place, to have rest, in a place where the gospel is rich and the watering of the land is going forth. Wherever the body of Christ is, you will find green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Genesis chapter 1, we read in verse 30 that God gives us every green herb for meat. And so the preaching of the gospel going forth is what is in view. In Psalm chapter 1, we read in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like unto a tree planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth his fruits in his season." His leaf, this word leaf, is identifying with the very same thing as a leaf from a plant, or even a grass, a blade of grass, a blade from a corn. His leaf, is green as long as water is being brought forth and light is being given. Not too much water and not enough light, and not too much light and not enough water, but just right. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For Jehovah knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So here, they are like, the ungodly is like the chaff, which is all dried up and is blown by the wind. The wind of judgment is what is in view here. But the leaf shall not wither as far as the body of Christ is concerned. But we see the opposite idea here in Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 27, we read, "Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her covenant with and a converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake Jehovah shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired. And ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth. Now a leaf that fadeth means that there's not enough sunlight and there's not enough water. At some point, if it falls off because it becomes dry, it could be too much sunlight and not enough water. But in any event, here is a leaf that fadeth. It was an oak tree. The picture of an oak is something that has strength, it is strong. And yet it is an oak whose leaf has fadeth. It is a picture of a corporate body whose leaf had fadeth. It is no longer a green thing. It is no longer being watered well and light shining upon it. Darkness has come upon it. Ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water, the water of the gospel. Out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. The water of the gospel is what is in view. The rain that comes forth from the clouds. The rain that comes forth from the clouds above and the heavens above. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark. This picture of tow identifying as with tar, something that's flammable. Their strength will be something that is flammable, and the maker of it as a spark. And they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. So we see the contrast here between a leaf that shall not wither and shall be well watered and be very shall prosper and be green, and another leaf even from a strong oak tree whose leaf fadeth because it is a garden that hath no water, and it will be burnt. Judgment will come upon it. The strong will be as tow. Their preachers and teachers will be as that which is the flammable thing to make them to burn, and the maker of it a spark, and they shall burn together, and none shall quench them. They shall not be put out. It'll translate into eternity, into the eternal flame. We see another picture of a leaf that falleth off in Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1. Come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of Jehovah is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be as cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And so the mountains shall be melted with their blood, a picture of judgment. Blood is a picture of judgment. To melt is a picture of fire. It is judgment. And so we see the picture of the carcasses, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. It is a time when there are many carcasses. There are dead bodies. There is a spiritual stench. And this is all language that brings us to, you know, the picture of what we read about in Revelation and in the Gospels concerning the end of the world. Let's see. And their mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. This idea of being dissolved is identifying with the fact that they're being burnt, and you know, it's a time of trying. Remember, we saw that it'll be, you know, the end will be as a tried with fire. You be careful how you build wood, hay, and stubble, or precious stones, gold and silver. And now the time has come for judgment and time of trying, and so we read the heavens shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. This idea of rolling the heavens together as a scroll. The scroll identifies with the Word of God, and to roll it up is to close the book, And this gives us the same kind of language as we've read in other places where the heavens will depart as a scroll, as when it is rolled up in Revelation, a time when the Word of God will be shut down. There'll be silence in heaven. There'll be no gospel coming forth. And of course, that is all identifying with the corporate church. So, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. So again, picture of judgment. A leaf falling off of the vine identifies with a dried leaf, no more water. God speaks of a time when the vine is a corrupt vine. It is another Jesus, where God has now brought judgment upon them. Okay, we're going to end it there. A picture of the green thing and a picture of the grass, the green grass as we're looking at, and how we saw that was a picture of the unsaved people in the church, and out of the green grass, of course, from time to time comes forth a blade that brings forth the ear, that the corn is now found in the ear, and therefore becomes a fruitful blade, a fruitful grass. It becomes part of the body of Christ. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. I'm going to end it there, and maybe we'll go back and look at some of the other verses that you missed when I guess my mic fell away.